And we want everybody to pay close attention this morning. We want to speak directly to our heart today. I wanted everybody upstairs, our whole church up here together this morning for the message. And we want to be your pastor this morning. We want to be what we're called to be, and to be your pastor that we might become what God wants us to be. I have a calling of God to preach the Word of God. And I have a calling of God to be a pastor. And the pastor sometimes is like a daddy. We want him to be like a papa. But sometimes he's a daddy. And sometimes we have to do things and say things and preach things that is not easy. But we're a family too. We're a family. The seriousness of our obligations to Christ and to our church is more than we can even comprehend. I don't know that we really understand fully just how much influence we have in our community. Do you realize, when everybody look at me, do you realize that you are the best Christian that some people know? Now you say, well, I'm a sorry one. You're the best one, Nina. You are the best Christian. You yourself, you have the greatest testimony of anyone that some people know. Ain't that heavy? Yeah. Think about that. You say, well, I'm just got saved. Even at that, you are the best Christian. You're the best example. And some people know. Think about that. And that's how heavy being a Christian is. That's how heavy being saved, that we know that we're saved. And if you don't know you're saved this morning, there'll be ample information given that you can be saved this morning. If you're not where you ought to be as a Christian, there's going to be ample space that we can be what we ought to be as a Christian this morning. Think about this. We have so much has changed in the last 48 hours. Me and Trisha was talking. In the last 48 hours, our whole world has changed. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Even more so now with the bombing of Iran and Israel and America coming. Do you realize that the war that is spoken of in the scripture before the tribulation period is still after the rapture?
Yep. That's right.
Do you realize that World War III is not going to happen with the church here?
That's right.
That's how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. If there's ever a moment right now that we ought to be all that we can be for the Lord Jesus, it's now. It's today. It's right now. And I thought, as we've studied and prayed all week long, I've thought, man, what a ironic situation to bring the seriousness of the hour to this moment. We're looking at revival at the end of the month. The seriousness of the moment. I ask all the kids to be upstairs called Greg and Monday. And I said, I want all the kids upstairs that we can see the seriousness of our church. That we can see individuals and people. And we see us all this morning. And I want us to look inside of our heart in every way. I'm going to ask you flat out, Greg, do you love me this morning? If anybody don't love me, I need you to stand up. I want to make it right with you this morning. Anybody here don't love me? Well, I want you to know I love you.
Amen.
I love you. All right? says, I want you to understand that. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, there's so many things that comes to our mind. We're living in what should be the greatest time of our life. Lord, you're ready to come. And it's exciting that you might come here in just a bit. Lord, you might rapture us out. Man, what a blessing it would be that if you would rapture us out right now. Lord, we'll go straight to be with you. Now, I know it's sad. There'll be some that'll be left here sitting looking. They're lost. And Lord, I pray that you will convict them this morning, that they'll be saved today. But Lord, if you come right now, I'm not going to say hold on a little longer. I'm going to say even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, our country's in a hard place. I pray for our country. I pray for our president, making decisions that takes people's lives is more pressure than ever I've been under. And Lord, I pray for all of them. I pray, God, you'd guide them, direct them. Lord, we're in a wicked place. We're a wicked country. Help us to turn to you. But Lord, help us now this morning in this church. Lord, I believe this church is yours. You purchased the church with your blood. This is part of your body. And Lord, I pray that we might be as you want us to be. Cleanse my mind, my heart. Help me to preach as you want me to preach. And Lord, I pray that you might get all glory. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's look at some things this morning, all right? I'm hung up, guy. Here we go. Keeping our heart fixed. Now, we know that's our theme, all right? Genuine commitment is what we've been hammering on in the last few weeks. Of course, Brother Bob preached for us last week, and that was great. Brother Bob outdone himself. He preached great Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'm still looking at that place of mercy. And I've needed it every day since he spoke. I've needed that place of mercy. But I want us to look at some things this morning. We have trouble in our Christian land. Can you see that? We have trouble in our Christian land. It's not just the world, it's in the Christian land. It's where Christians are. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? It's not just the whole world I'm talking about. In our Christian land, there's trouble in our Christian land. And we have trouble in our Christian church. Mountain State Church and any other church. We have trouble in our Christian church, in our body. You know, that's why there's warnings. And as Paul wrote to church at Corinth and said that they shouldn't be no schism in the body. You know, that's the whole body. That's the whole body of Christ worldwide. Every born again believer. You understand it? But there are schisms. They're schisms. They are. Divisions. That's what they mean. And we have trouble in our Christian homes. It's rare that you find a home that ain't got an issue of something going on right now. It's rare. There's some kind of troubled heart, some kind of, whether it be a troubled marriage, troubled kids, troubled grandkids, troubled parents, there's trouble. Divorce, counseling, separations, all kinds of things that happens in our home. There's just trouble in, and we're talking about Christian homes. Can I tell you that it would be normal to have trouble in a drunkard's home? It would be normal to have trouble in a dopehead's home, in an addict's home. But when you have trouble in the Christian home, when you have trouble in the Christian land, and trouble in the Christian church, and trouble in Christian homes, that should not be so. You know, that really shouldn't be so. Because we got somebody in us. I want every believer to understand this morning that you got Christ in you and you don't have to live below. You can live above this whole world and sin and shame, and because of the power of Christ that resides in our heart, we can live above all that. You know that? But it don't seem like we are. We have trouble in our Christian heart. Not just our home, but the reason there's trouble everywhere else is because our heart's messed up. That's why we got the theme, that our heart might be fixed. That we might be fixed on Christ. That we might be fixed in repair. But that we might be fixed and focused upon Christ. Why? Because there's trouble. There's trouble. There's trouble in our heart. That's why there's trouble in our homes. That's why there's trouble in our churches. That's why there's trouble in our land. And it's all under the heading of Christian. Think about that. It's all under the heading of Christian. Why can't we be Christians? That's our title this morning. Is why can't we be Christians? Why can't we all be Christians? Why can't we all just be Christians? We got any takers? Why can't we all be Christians? Why can't we all be kids? Why can't you be Christians? Moms and dads, why can't you be Christians? Old people, why can't you be Christians? Young people, middle-aged people. Why can't we all just be Christians here this morning? You're not saved. Why can't you be a Christian today? Why can't you get saved today? The only thing that's keeping you from being saved today is you're too prideful and you won't repent. That's the only thing that's keeping you lost today. It ain't because you don't believe. It's because you won't believe.
Yeah, that's right.
You refuse Christ. You reject Christ. Think about that. So why won't you be a Christian today? Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be? What makes someone, I want you to think about this, what makes someone do the impossible? What drives someone to do the above average? We hear stories of people doing impossible feats and things that blows our mind. What drives someone to do the above average? Why can some excel and some don't excel? Why can some be above average? What motivates someone to forget pain and hurt and feelings and poverty and cold and hunger, solitary confinement, and still finish well? Huh? Well, it's got to be someone that's genuinely committed. Could you agree to that? Now, when I think of that, what I think about is a soldier, military, people who have given and are giving their life and everything. I think of them soldiers over. As far as I know right now, we don't have no casualties right now. But I'm sure if things continue, there may be a plane or there may be some soldiers perish. And I hate that, but that's the cost of war. But military men and women who give and have gave their life for our freedom, more than we can possibly count. I'm all the time reading. I love to read about the Congressional Medal of Honor winners I've got a book. Someone give me a book to read. I've read that one book anyway several times. Leaf through it, and I read about their stories and their exploits and what they've done. It amazes me, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about military people. I'm talking about Christians, not military men and women. I'm talking about people who are and were so committed to Christ that nothing else mattered because they had died to self. So they forgot about pain and hurt and cold and hunger and feelings and poverty and the world. And they forgot about being put in jail and forgot about all these things because they had sold out to Christ, that they had become committed, that they just decided to be a Christian, not a super Christian, just a Christian. Just a Christian. See, we think if you're going to be spiritual, you're going to be a super Christian. No, that's the baseline. To be on fire for God is the baseline. That's supposed to be the normal. To be a soul winner is the baseline. If you're not, you're below. You're not normal. You're below normal. Above, I don't know how to even explain above, but we ain't even reaching a baseline. All right? Dying to self. They died to self. You know, Christians are supposed to die to self. You know what our problem is? Let me tell you what our problem is here. I don't pastor everywhere else, but I know what our problem is here. Is we don't die to self. We ain't died to self. Brother Rick told us this morning that the person we have the most problem with, or the person he has the most problem with, is the feller that sits under his hat.
That's That's right.
That's what Brother Rick said. And I agree with that. The feller that sits under my hat, the feller I look at every morning to shave and brush my teeth, that's one I have. And I need to die to that guy. He's killing me. I don't know about you, but I'm killing me. Are you listening to me? I don't know about y'all, how y'all's handling you, but I'm killing me. We all right? Want you to look at this. Gilmine Gilbert, or Gilbert, it's a French word. I don't know. I'm not going to speak it French. I'm going to give it to you in American here. Gilmine Gilbert and Perrotine Massey and Catherine Cautious and a baby boy. That's three, them three women and that baby. This is very true. They have a big plaque over right off one of the little islands right off of Normandy. Everybody's heard of Normandy over in France between English, there in the English Channel between England and France. And right off one of the islands there, this took place. And the mother, Catherine Cautious, if that's the way, I tried to find the way to pronounce it, and they give it to me, but it didn't speak it, so that's the best I can do. All right. Anyway, they were sentenced to burn at the stake because they would not bow down and tell the Catholic Church that they believed that when that Pope come by and stuck that wafer in her mouth, that turned into the body of Christ, and that wine everybody was drinking out of that same dirty cup, but that was the blood of Christ. And they said that's not true. They was trusting Christ and His finished work on Calvary, so they sends them to die. And one of them, the one on the right, I believe, I think it's the one on the right. Anyway, her husband was a preacher, and he had done run. He had been taken to London in exile, hiding. And here they are, and they burn him at the stake. Now, the one there on the right, that Perrotine Massey, she was pregnant. You're ready to have a kid. All right? There's like Abby back there. I mean, she could just go at any moment. And they put her in the far. And when they put her in the forest, that's when she had the baby. Now this is all a plaque. This is all true. All right. They all three, the women, all three tied to stake, and that woman had the baby in the far while she was set afar for Christ.
Yeah.
All right. And a man reached in the far and got the baby, a little baby boy. And the officers said, throw him back. And they made him throw the baby back in the far. And grandma and aunt and mommy all burnt up with that little baby boy for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
That's your history. That's not a story, it's not a fable, but that is history. For someone who stood for Christ. They didn't care that the fire was hot. They didn't care. Well, the baby's going to be okay in just a little bit. I'm going to be okay in just a little bit. But Christ was more important than anything else in their life.
Yes.
That Christ was more important. Are you listening to me this morning? That Christ was more important than anything else going on in their life. That Christ was.
Yeah.
That Christ was. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if there's a example of genuine commitment of a normal people, right there is a good picture of genuine commitment. I read another story. I can't even just give her first name, and I can't for the life of me how to pronounce it. It starts with A. Aguiline or Agnanine or something. Agnanine. Anyway, they was burning the two preachers. And as they was burning two preachers at the stake, and they were preaching as they was burning, and the young lady got saved.
Yep.
And as she trusted Christ, knowing the table's going to arrest her, she said, well, maybe the banquet table will be ready for me. And she stepped over into the fire and stood there without being burnt, without being tied, and burnt up with the preachers that told her how excellent Christ was. And she trusted him. I don't know of more commitment than that. Do you? Do you know of any more genuine commitment for Christ? Huh? Someone who says the banquet table will maybe prepared for me too. And to step over it, I mean, that blows my mind. Huh? That she would step over in eternity. Not because of fame. She didn't know somebody would write about her in a book. She didn't know they'd make a plaque over. She knew that there was a man called Jesus and had died in her place and was buried and rose again. And nothing else meant any more to her than that wonderful fact right there. And I'm afraid we've missed it. Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be Christians? Huh? Why can't we be Christians? Us, right here. Our motivation should be Christ. That ought to be our motivation. Nothing else should motivate me. Nothing else, huh? Nothing else. Prestige. I'm well known. I'm not popular. Prestige and popular go together. I don't have that. I'm well known. Huh? But that's not good. Our motivation should be Christ. Not what I can get out of it. Look at me and listen to me. If I go to hell after spending 40 years preaching a gospel, then it's still the best life. And Christ is still worth it. Are you listening to me? I'm not, and I can't. But I'm just telling you that Christ is more worth it regardless.
Yes,
he is. Huh? 41 years of preaching the gospel of Christ. Listen, it don't matter the heartache or the hurt. It don't matter. Because of Christ. Why can't we just be Christians? Why can't we be? 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this, for he hath made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, he's worth everything we are, everything we can have, anything that we do. Christ is worth far above for that very fact right there this morning.
Amen.
That he who knew no sin became sin. He didn't know anything wrong. He couldn't do anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. And he becomes sin for me, that I might have life. Oh my. Huh? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me tell you, there ought to be anything else that needs to motivate me. Shouldn't be a song, shouldn't be a poem. I don't even have to have the scripture. I've got Christ.
Amen.
Huh? That ought to be enough to motivate us. But we missed it somewhere.
Yes, we did.
We missed it somewhere. We missed it somewhere where they beat him to where you couldn't recognize him. We missed it somewhere. Don't hang your head. You look at it this morning. You look at the pictures the best I can show you. You look at it this morning. That ought to motivate us and move our heart. It ought to break my heart and move me to step out for Christ and lift my hands and praise his name. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, and we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who endured the cross, despised the shame. Hey, he done it for me and you this morning. And that ought to motivate every one of us this morning. It ought to motivate me to not worry about nothing else but Christ. Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? He became my substitute. He died in my place. He satisfied God. He became the propitiation for my sin. Who satisfied the righteousness, holiness of God that might reconcile me and bring into me forgiveness and redemption. Hey, reconciliation and restoration. And I can go to be with Christ. Think about that this morning. That he drove with nails in his hands for me. For me. That he drove with nails in his feet for me. It ain't a story. It's a truth. It ain't a fable. It's what Jesus done for me and you. Oh, why can't we just be Christians? Why can't we just be Christians this morning? Look, let him look at you. Let him look at you this morning. Oh, he looked at me. He saw me. May of 1973 on the front bench needing a Savior. He saw me, for he died for me. And his Spirit wooed me and drawled me and spoke to me and drawled me to a place of repentance so long ago. Oh, he changed my life. He put something inside of me that the world don't have. Oh, he's given me peace and passeth all understanding. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, he's given me a hope and steadfast and sure, and I know I shall reign with him. And I'm already seated at the throne of God because Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah this morning. He's looking at us this morning. He's looking at us this morning because we missed it. Because we miss it. Because we miss it. Looks like he's looking right at me. Looks like he's looking right at me. But he was. He was. He was. So I'll go and I'll preach and I'll tell. If you're lost this morning, do you understand? He looked at you and he died for you this morning. He died in your place. You're the one that deserved to hang there. You're the one that deserves hell. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. But he said, no, I'll stand there for you. Trust me. Now just trust me. I'll trust him this morning. Our motivation should be Christ. Our motivation should be Christ. Why? To live right. It ought to be Christ. That's why I ought to live right. Listen, nothing else. Nothing else. It ought to be Christ that causes me to live right. It ought to be Christ that causes me to act right. It ought to be Christ that causes me to serve right. It ought to be Christ that causes me to be saved. Are you hearing me? Some people just want to get saved to go to heaven. I want to get saved because I was lost. Right. Yeah. Are you listening to me this morning? To be committed, all this should be because of Christ, but we have problems in our life that are uncalled for. Now, you listen to me now. I love you, and you said you love me. Yeah. Now, you listen to me now.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm going to be very plain. Okay? I want the kids to listen. I want all the grown up. I want us all to listen. Now listen this morning. I'm burdened about us. I'm burdened about our church. Our eyes are off Christ and on ourselves.
You're right.
That's where they're at. We have no motivation because we're bogged down in the muck and mire of self. In the world.
You're right.
Amen, preacher.
You're right.
Because the cross don't move us no more.
Right.
Christ don't move us no more.
Right.
And because of that, we've got problems. Our motivation should be Christ. Our motivation should be Christ. What it should be, it'll be Christ. That's what made them three women hang there and have that baby in the far. That's what made that woman that trusted Christ say, well, they'll prepare the banquet table. Maybe it'll be ready now. And I'll step in the far. Don't have time, me. I'll just step in there and stand by them preachers that told me about Christ.
Amen.
Huh? See? We okay? Matthew 12, verse 25 says this. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Yeah, that's right.
A house divided can't stand. And we're divided. We're divided. Do you realize what's happening around us today, right here in the church? What is causing and has caused 98% of our problems at church and home? We don't have no sexual scandal at Mountain State. I know churches that do. We don't have no money scandal. I know churches that do. We don't have no doctrinal scandal. I know churches that do. We're not persecuted from the world. But I know churches that are. We're not. Huh? But what causes our problems? You ready? What's killing us?
Thank you.
You're right.
Amen,
right.
Words.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're telling it right.
Words.
Yeah.
We have people who want to leave a church because of word.
Right.
We have people that have already left the church because of words. We have people that have quit serving because of words. We have spouses that can't get along because of words. We have children that are stressed because of words. Just words. Just words. Not burning at the stake. Not dying on the cross. Just words. Just words. Why can't we be Christian? Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be Christian? In the past 8 months, listen to me. In the past 8 months, I've been dealing with conflict of words that is affecting over 65 people right here in this church, right here this morning. Y'all. Over 65 people in the past 8 months. Because of words.
Wow.
Because of words. When it's all said and done, never should happen on that scale. Words, all because of words. I'm not exaggerating. I got the names. Y'all want to hear them? No, we don't. Words. Assumptions. Surmises. Gossip. Slander. Backbiting. Murmuring. Words. Words. If we don't change, words are going to destroy our church. Words are going to ruin the next generation. We had all them kids stand up here a while ago. Words spoken out of hatred. Words spoken out of revenge. Words spoken in anger. Words spoken to tear down. Words that can never be taken back. The woman came to the preacher one time and said, "Preacher, I want to apologize. I've been talking about you." He said, "Well, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it." She said, "Well, what can I do?" He said, "Well," he said, "over on the chair there's a pillow full of feathers." He said, "Get it there. Let's look at it." And they went outside, took it outside, and the wind was blowing. He cut it open and let it, all the feathers go. He said, "Come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it." She said, "Well, this, he's silly." So she come back tomorrow. He said, "You asked me what to do about you talking about me." She said, "Yeah, why not?" He said, "Pick up all them feathers we threw out yesterday and put them back in this pillowcase." Well, she said, "There's no way." He said, "That's exactly right.
That is exactly right.
There's no way." It couldn't have been done the soon it was said. The soon it was tore up. But not to wait. Ain't no way. See, it ain't just one little isolated incident. It's homes. Some of y'all don't get along with one another in your house. Some of you men talk awful to your wife. Some of you ladies talk awful to your husband. Awful. Some of you moms and dads talk awful to your children. Some of you children are being allowed to talk back to your parents. Some of us talk awful hard toward one another. Some of us are awful hateful, hard, judgmental, and jealous. And we're going to risk. Look around you, we're going to risk all this. Because of my feeling. Because of who's got to be top dog. Husbands and wives argue trying to find out who's got the authority, and neither one of them do. If you're a Christian, Christ has got it. This is part of the body of Christ this morning. And words are killing Mountain State Baptist Church. God will not accept praise from the mouth that runs down His bride and body. That's why we can't have spiritual services. Don't work. Every word we speak, the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Don't say I didn't mean to say it. Yes, you did. You didn't mean to say it out loud. Why can't we be Christian? 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 I see the price of my salvation on the cross. I do. I see it. When I see the pictures I've showed you, I see it. When I read it, I see it. And of course, I can't understand that. I don't know about y'all, but I can't understand the cross. Maybe y'all's a lot wiser than me. I can't understand the cross. I believe it. I know what happened, but I can't understand why a perfect God would love me to that end. I can't understand that. I can't understand the cost of getting me the gospel at the fire pit of the martyrs. I tell you, I can understand maybe them arresting me and burning me. I can't understand me not being arrested and saying, well, let's go ahead and step in for my time next anyway. I'll just go ahead and get in here. I can't understand that. I can't understand having a baby in the fire and then watching me watch them throw my baby back in the fire and me say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loving. I can't understand that. Then I want to quit and run and retaliate and pout and murmur and complain because of words. Because of words. Our motivation should be Christ. Our fear should be hell. Does that mean anything anymore? Does that mean anything anymore? That our friends and our loved ones, our families, are perishing. They're dying lost without God. And we're worried about words. We're worried about words. Who is that in the shadows? Who is that in the shadows? Oh, I don't want to name him. I don't want to name him. It's my friends. It's my family. I don't want to name them. I don't want to name them. And I'm worried about words. The ones I've begged, I've pleaded. Where's my motivation? Oh, it's Christ. Where's my fear? It ought to be hell. Do we see our people headed there? Do we see them burning? Hear them screaming? Do we see us standing in the way of the door and they can't get in? They can't get in because we've got it blocked off. We've got Calvary blocked off. They can't even get there because we're blocking the door. spend my time. I don't visit you that's sick and less. I know that. Am I going to make no excuse? I don't have time. Been trying to get people into church. But I've been spending time trying to keep people from leaving. Because of words.
Yep.
What time I do have, I try to get people to come because some of y'all won't. Because you're too sunk up in the world to knock on doors. And so when? Talk a good fight. You ever been around somebody that talked a good fight? But when the fight happened, they weren't there? The lost keep track of our attendance to church. Years ago, my cousin Bernard, pastor, he wasn't a pastor, he was a teacher. He's the one I told you about at Gruy Sunday school class five times. It split because there's no room. And five times he run down the room. Bernard Secrets, Bugs, we called him. And he parked in the same place every Sunday, like we do. We try to. They parked in the same place every Sunday. He's a man across the road from a church they've been witness to for years. Never could get nowhere with him. Well, one day Bernard went to see him. The fellow said, "Why didn't you go to church Sunday?" He said, "I was at church." He said, "No, you wasn't. I watch." He said, "Yes, I was at church." He said, "No, you park in the same place and your car was not there." He said, "I traded cars." He said, "Oh." And Bugs led him to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't tell me they don't want. Huh? They want. They keep track of where we go to church. They see us when we quit and change churches too. And they lose confidence in us and the gospel. I wonder, will we let our words spoken to each other drive the lost away? Will we let our words and our feelings destroy the church and its influence? Will we let the love of the world and self stoke the fires of hell for our people we say we love? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be Christians? The temperature of our church is measured by our hot tempers instead of the holy fire of God. If you want to quote that, that's an original. I didn't read that nowhere. The temperature of our church is measured by our hot tempers instead of the holy fire of God. You may be mad at me now. I don't know. And can I tell you, I really don't care. I don't have no feelings today. I died this morning. I died to words this morning.
That's
If I can, I'll die in the morning. Then I'll work on dying on Tuesday. Then I'll work on dying on Wednesday. And I'll do my best to do what the Scripture says and die daily. But I died this morning. If we're not careful, this is what we will teach our kids. That everyone don't matter. Go ahead, let them leave. Go ahead, let them quit. Go ahead. No. 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 You can't love anybody who has less. It's amazing for somebody, for a church to run buses the way we do and we still look down. Amazing. It's okay to make fun of others. And church is important, but it ain't the main thing. It's important. Yeah. Hey, I don't know anybody that won't tell you the church is not important. But everybody don't say it's the main thing. Because if it's the main thing, nothing would come before it. We okay? When we teach them Scripture and prayer, and then we set the wrong example, then it wipes everything else away. Fussing with our spouse. I have a lot of that in my office. At homes. Raising her voice, mad. Well, I get mad. Okay. Now, my business. I wonder what Jesus would think. And as a lamb brought before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. We okay this morning? Taking sides against friends and neighbors. You know, it's a normal thing, it seems like. Two people can't have a conversation without other people getting involved and take sides. You can't run with the skunk and smell like a rose. If you run with the skunk, everyone knows. That ain't right, Kim, but you've tried to teach me in a... We'll remember everybody's mistake and sin. I talked with a feller not this Friday, but Friday a week ago. I was visiting and I talked with him and he said, I can't come to church with you, Mark. I said, why? You've been promised to me for 35 years you was going to come. He says, has it been that long? I said, yeah, it's been that long. And he said, nobody will turn loose the past. I said, I think it's you the one that ain't turning loose the past. I said, come to church with me. Nobody knows you. But somewhere, somebody drawled up his past. Covering our own sin and mistake. That's what we teach our kids. And then kids leave church after they grow up because of the hypocrisy of the grown-ups.
That is right. That's a fact. Amen, preacher.
And the basis of it all is words. Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be Christians? Huh? How about when you that come Sunday after Sunday, sitting here unsaved, don't have Christ, When are you going to come to Christ and realize that you're not going to be judged according to the way I act or what I say or what I do, that you're going to be judged because you won't trust Christ?
That's right.
Blame me in this life if you want, but you'll go to hell because you won't believe.
Right.
You won't go to hell because of the preacher.
That's right.
Now, I may shove you, but it ain't going to be me causing you to go.
Amen.
I may shove you because of my life, but I'm not the reason. The reason is you won't believe. When are you going to realize that your hope is in Christ? It's nothing and nothing else. All right? See, it's Christ this morning. It's Christ. Why can't we be Christians? Why can't we be Christians? What's our answer? What do we do? Well, right there it is. Repent. And stand up and forgive.
Amen.
And if it don't work, turn around and repent. And stand up and forgive. And when the devil brings it up to you tonight, repent. And stand up and forgive. And tomorrow, when the devil brings it up again and it bothers you, repent, and then stand and forgive, and do that because we're better people than that.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ. Why can't we just be Christians? And some are still going to drive a Ford. And some are going to drive a Chevrolet. And some are going to drive a Dodge. And some are going to drive a Nissan and a Toyota. So what?
Right.
Some will wear a suit from Kohl's. And some will wear from Penny's. And some will wear one from... Okay. Some will wear rubber boots to church and tennis shoes and hunting clothes. Who cares?
Amen.
I think Christ is worth
something.
I think He's worth something. Why can't we be Christian? Cheryl, go to the piano. Play Jesus Paid It All. We ain't going to sing, Clark. Play Jesus Paid It All, Cheryl. Just soon you get it, go to play it. Quickly. Invitation like I preached. Why can't we be Christian? You do what you want to do. Why can't we be Christian? Why can't we just be Christian? Why can't we just be Christian? Let's stand together, will we please?